Aww.
Live from the festival north side of Racine, Wisconsin.
You fucked it up already.
What do you know? It's a podcast. Yeah, but you know what?
Let's start it again. Let's start again. All right, let's start that again.
Listener warning. Everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Festival north side of Racine, Wisconsin. It's a podcast that wants to play with your joystick and press all your buttons. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah! Yeah! Euphemisms!
Yay!
Wow, I was a little turned on
I'm
by the intro.
I'm very tired.
Okay, so,
worked on that.
Let's start.
I was very turned on.
Because I've been waiting for the last, like, 20 minutes to open the darn thing up, let's start with the show beer tonight. So, we've actually reviewed Point beers before, and as I've said, and Larry disagrees with me on this, Point's a hit or miss brewery. I think I find that some of their beers are extremely good, other ones, not so much. But I've seen this advertisement up in Milwaukee for it. Their little blue pills, or their little smiley blue pills, a.k.a. Smiley Blue, a pilsner out of Point Brewery. It's a Czech style. As you guys know, I like my pills. So,
You like to check them?
Well, I think Point typically their straight Point beer I don't care for very much, but their specialty beers tend to be fairly decent.
I think we've actually had
this would be a specialty.
I think we've had one of their specialty beers before, Nude Beach, and I think it didn't do that well in the old rating system, if I remember correctly. Just going to put that out there. So if you want to go back, find the episode with Nude Beach.
But to be fair, that was a weed. Who likes weed?
That's true. That was a good point. It was a really sour weed to boot.
Yeah.
All right.
Are we ready?
Let's give this a try.
Since you've been needing
it. It smells good.
How's it feel?
Wait, palate clear. Shoot.
Ooh. Okay, that is a good pills. A little hoppy on the finish.
Tastes a lot like St. Pauli girl.
Try. Put that damn St. Pauli. Put the girl down! Put the girl down!
I think it is. You know, it's Czech style.
Yeah, very much so.
But I think it's got a little bit of a bite, which I like.
It's got the hoppiness to it, which normally you don't get with a Czech style pills. I gotta say, that kind of surprised me that there was a hoppy finish on it.
That's like the trend these days. Just put hops.
It's not a heavy hop finish, but you can taste the hops at the end, which a lot of pills you got no hops at the end. You got the bite. You got the bite in the beginning, and then nothing. Yeah. Clean finish on your palate. This, and the more you drink it. It builds up there. You get that hoppy taste on your palate.
Why did they do that to beer?
Why?
Why?
Is hoppy.
Why?
It's not overly hoppy. It's not overly hoppy.
I mean, it's okay. It's not a bad beer, but I wouldn't drink it.
I don't think I'd drink it either.
I'm drinking it at first, like before you get the hops. I'm just like, is there anything there?
But that's a pills. It's a clean beer to start with. And it's weird because normally you don't get that finish with that hops. And here you got that finish with that hops.
We have another hoppy session beer.
I liked it. It's not bad.
It's pretty good for what it is.
It's not something you'd run out and get.
Yeah, and like, again, it's...
Something I just walk
nothing
past
I'd say,
anyway.
Oh, hey, this is an interesting flavor. Or like, you know...
But... They do get points for name. Little blue pills or smiley blue pills. In this case, blue pills are... Always take the blue pill. Remember, Neo? Take the fucking blue pill, okay? Look what happened to poor Neo.
I didn't go back to my crummy life. I'm taking the red pill.
All right.
Let's push the boat.
I'm giving it a thumbs up.
I wouldn't say full-fledged all that.
No thumbs downs, but 4 or 5.
Got it.
I would say it's one worth try. Again, if you like a pills, it's not a bad pills. The hoppy finish might throw you a little bit at first, but it's not bad.
I don't know if you can get it outside of Wisconsin.
Point? I think Point is available outside of Wisconsin.
this beer represents.
Stevens Point,
Wisconsin. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, well that, was, state, that was that was a New Glarus that that bar in Minnesota got in big trouble for. Some bar was running across the line, buying barrels of New Glarus, bringing them back to the bar. They got like a federal. They broke some federal law by doing that, and they're in.
Well, that's basically
ditch.
Just moon.
That's our
moonshine.
A shitload. Yeah, they really they was serious. It was like 2 to 7 years in jail for the four. And it was like,
that's our
what just for bringing beer across the state line because New Glarus you can't get in Minnesota and it's a good beer.
That's ridiculous.
It's an okay beer.
I think we
should keep people's expectations low because then when they drink it, they're like, okay, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But if you keep hyping it up, it's just like, I don't know. I drink a lot of beer.
I think there's better point beers.
Yeah, there's better point beers.
There are better point beers, most definitely. I have to agree with you on that as well. All right, so Rob, now that we've really kind of beaten that poor beer to death, what is the actual topic tonight? Oh, hey, part two.
This is part two.
Part two of what?
This is part two of the the consoles that never were. Vaporware consoles.
The second almost coming.
This is the second volume in a 3-volume trilogy.
So we are. You got the vapors. Come on, Mike. You know, you want to do it, Mike. Mike's got
you
the
get
vapors.
It, bro, you vape.
You know, as we go through these, I thought of something the other day. At the end of it, if there should. Look at all the systems that we talk about, and is there any one system we wish had come out instead of a system that actually came out?
Ooh, all right. Well, man, that might be a good way to finish this whole three
yeah,
hour
I think
up.
We may
something to
do
think
that.
About.
I
yeah,
think
that
would make a nice finish up.
That would
make
sure some... any, okay, any so what's the first system we're going to talk about tonight?
Are we doing it in order? I guess so.
Yeah, let's do it in order.
All right, so we're going to start with the Panther.
The Atari Panther.
Which is actually a little bit thin because it gets kind of overlapped by its released brother.
The Jaguar.
Okay, but now I have to ask this.
The Jaguar.
So what? Okay, so we know why Apple went with all these cat names. So do you know why Atari went with all the cat names eventually?
Because they're all the same goddamn people.
They didn't start with the cat names. I mean, if you think about it, all the previous systems
were numbered.
Were numbered systems, and all of a sudden they started going to these
cats
cat
are predatory.
Name
rich people like predatory cats. It's like that's my theory. It's
true story. Made up.
Okay.
That
true story.
Made
up. Go back.
It also sounded cool
Apple.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, Apple did all that.
Rich people, predatory people, and what do you call it? Murderers.
Serial murderers.
Serial killers, like predatory animals.
Oh, so that's why Atari went to it for the serial killer market.
Yeah, I think they probably.
That's a very large market for Atari.
Yeah, I think they're going for the serial killer market. Okay. So
wait, what?
God damn it, are we ever gonna get started?
No, Dad, no! Put the belt down!
Bad touch!
You're getting, like, flashbacks.
No, no! What, PTSD. What's an Apple system that was a...
Snow Leopard?
All the OS.
Leopard?
Oh, yeah. Lynx? All the OSs. Okay.
Like, pretty much all their OSs.
All the OSs.
Mountain Lion.
Yeah, Mountain Lion.
The Macintosh.
Oh, no. They named their IS, all their iOS systems were named after big cats.
Well,
Geek Things wants to know where the feet are.
No. Hey, I mean, like, no, that was only in 10. So before 10, though, they were just numbered.
Yeah, they were numbered before 10.
Just like Atari. Coincidence?
Oh.
Or really?
Somebody play the X-Files theme so I can say Illuminati confirmed.
Oh God, they'd tag that in a second.
All right, yeah, they would.
Illuminati would tag.
Yeah,
they would. Actually, yeah, they would. All right, so Rob, talk about the Atari Panther.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that failed. Oh, not that failed system, that vaporware system.
Never existed. The Atari Panther was a 32-bit successor to the beloved Atari 7800. Atari 7800 wasn't beloved in its time, but it was later. It was scheduled for release in 1991, which would have put it in competition with the Super Nintendo. I typed Sega Dreamcast. Sega Genesis. Somebody wasn't paying attention.
Freudian slip.
Do you ever pay attention, Rob?
What?
Only when he's trying to talk.
Confirmed.
He doesn't.
Never.
The Panther and Jaguar systems were both late 80s Atari's incentives or initiatives to define the next generation of video game systems to bring Atari into the next generation when they had gotten their asses kicked in the last.
Didn't go so well, did it? Yeah, I can tell I typed these at different times. It's, yep. It was one of two projects.
This one's in Russian.
Yes.
When did I learn Russian?
This is a hard one to research because nobody has a whole lot of information on it. It's one of two projects started for Atari from ex-Sinclair team Flare Technology.
Oh, whoa, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's kind of weird.
And they were originally responsible for the Flare 1 and the Konix multi-system, which we covered last week.
Oh,
boy,
that's how you say
they're
it.
They're the tie in.
The Hall of Fail is going on.
Yeah, I guess so. Those guys really did never got a system off the ground, did they?
No. You guys suck.
Yeah, they did, but.
Right. They did get a second gig, apparently.
How? I don't know.
All right, so the Panther was a little bit smaller than the later Jaguar, but it featured a front loading mechanism similar to the NES. Some have described it more. Thanks. Some have described it as more of like a VCR loader type of thing, but there's no real good concept drawings except for one hand drawn one, and somebody did a virtual
one. Yeah, they did a 3D
one.
Model on it.
Yeah, we're doing a 3D model here.
I like the fact that somebody actually 3D modeled a non-existent system.
It didn't,
that they
it,
never
it didn't
made
actually
a mock
pull
of
it in, though. That wasn't the idea.
There's no commentary on whether that was true or not, which way it went. Yeah. One of the people who actually apparently was designing it described it as a VCR mechanism, but again, that's hearsay because almost everything about the system is hearsay except for some of the specs, which let's talk about them real quick about the guts of this thing. It used the Motorola 68000 processor running at 16 megahertz.
Wait, what year was this again?
It was going to release in 1991. And it was designed in 1989.
Oh, it's 1989. Okay. That's...
Think about who it was competing with.
Yeah, no.
The SNES.
Yeah, no. That's fine.
This is right.
All of them were. So yeah, no. The fact it was 89-ish, 90-ish. That makes sense. This is the early 90s.
Right. So. Had a custom Insonic processor called Otis with 32 sound channels. Insonic, if you don't know, was famous in the time for their sound quality.
God, yes.
They did the sound for the Apple IIgs in
3DO
conjunction with Bose.
Too? Didn't they do the 3DO system?
For
some reason, I want to say Sonic did the
3DO.
We got
to cover the 3DO.
With yeah, but that was not a failed system. Okay, that was not a vaporware system. It was a very failed system.
We're going to cover it in another deep dive down the line.
Damn, you failed.
Yeah. Why not the CDI?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I got one of those. That
after
was a fail, too.
Exciting interviews coming up and MGC, but carry on.
Yeah.
Heck with that. Video hardware. They did not specify what video hardware it was using, but it could do 8,192 colors from a palette of 262,144 colors.
That's one hell of a number.
That could display 65,535 sprites of any size simultaneously. This architecture was later used in the Atari Jaguar, so it's very possible it's basically the same chipset. I'm going to get it for that comment, probably. 32K of RAM, unconfirmed.
You could have just used similar.
64K in ROM. And it had a stereo headphone jack, much like the Sega Genesis, apparently. Interesting fact. The controllers that were created for the Panther were later scavenged for use on the Atari Jaguar, so they'd have been pretty bad.
They also scavenged some other stuff, too.
But that said, I've used a Jaguar controller. You do adjust to it. It's really not that bad. It's stupid, yes. But it's really not that bad. The control feels good. You control things really well with it. It just has a lot of buttons in stupid places, but the main three are in the right place.
We were just talking. There's a lot of not worse controllers, a.k.a. ColecoVision controllers.
Yeah, we were just talking about
how bad those are. They are just...
There's worse controllers out there.
Oh, sure. No, I know. Oh, there's worse than that.
Out for the Atari 2600.
Let's be honest. The ColecoVision controller sucked ass.
Yeah, that sure can make and break.
They were a leather company. What do you expect?
Thank you.
You can only expect so much. Like... You're lucky the controller wasn't a belt that you got beat with.
A little bit.
No, Dad, put the belt away.
A little bit of bondage, maybe.
It just comes out.
It whips out.
It's like game.
Fun fact: ColecoVision made Chiller. No, I made that up. It's American game. You know,
but you know what though? Even so, those.
I'm really curious. Someone
controller. Can make or break a system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think that particular controller would have broken. I think with good games, that was a good enough controller. It was better than...
That's not what killed
the
Jaguar.
To the internet, I go.
No.
It's what killed the 7800.
It came out
exactly.
No, I don't think that's what killed the 7800 either.
Coming out 4 years too late.
Yeah, that's what killed the 7800.
The controller I think was more solidly built than the Genesis controller. No hate in Sega people, but it's a better constructed controller.
Right.
It showed mature construction, which the Genesis really didn't show in its
especially the original one.
It was really
when they had the six button configuration.
It was a little
more ergonomic,
right? And a lot more robust
and better plastic.
Yeah, exactly. It was more robust. The original ones were really chintzy made.
Well made.
I dropped my original one on the ground. I'm like, oh, did that hit the ground? It didn't sound like anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm lying. It's
no, it's true. That's true.
Are there parts working in there?
Yeah. No, Rob's right. They used a much cheaper, lighter plastic on the original ones. When they came to the six button ones, they had started using the heavy ABS plastic, and it was a much better quality construction.
Yeah, so Atari did have that in their court. It really wasn't the worst controller. It's goofy looking, but not really that bad.
No shortage of goofy controllers.
Known games that were going to be released for it were Cybermorph, which was later put onto the
Jaguar. That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah,
Trevor McFerrin, the Crescent Galaxy, again.
On the Jaguar, yeah.
Raiden, which is popular at that time, and looked wonderful on it. Really popular shooter.
It's a big popular shmup. One of the classics.
Vertical flight shooter.
Ah.
With the upgrades.
Bullet hell and...
The Panther was scrapped when it was decided that the Jaguar project was a more viable project.
That's interesting that they were developing two at once. And again, from the sounds of it, there seemed to be similar specs.
Well, the reason why originally the Jaguar... They were planning both, but one was supposed to come out like 2 years or 3 years before the Jaguar,
right?
And the Jaguar project was being accomplished quicker than they anticipated.
Exactly.
Oh.
That is exactly what happened, the Jaguar. But in my opinion...
I did research.
You
good
did?
Job. In my opinion...
I thought the slogan would have came in.
They made a huge mistake. I think that was Atari's big mistake, because if the Panther had been released, it could have done serious damage. It was more powerful than a SNES.
Yeah.
It was arguably better. It had better hardware. I think it would have been easier probably to code for, unless they really screwed up in the graphics. Oh. I mean, the Jaguar did, but that's because they were doing that weird crap with 3D. Apparently, they were doing some weird crap with 3D here too.
But yeah, I was just gonna say.
I think that if it would have come out in 1991, it would have at least gotten a sizable audience and been able to carry Atari to the point where maybe they could have made a better Jaguar. And maybe would have survived. I think that this was a bad executive decision for them to make. I really think that this is a system, even more, maybe not more than the 7800, but it was kind of their last best chance of getting out there. But by the time the Jaguar came out, Atari wasn't a name anymore. They'd been gone for about 5-6 years in a gamer...
Yep.
In gamer world,
I would agree
that's
a
generation of gamers. That's a generation of gamers.
Yeah,
that's when the SNES and
Genesis
came in.
Exactly, and filled that open market.
Maybe you knew them from a few game titles you might have liked.
Right.
The other thing is, this is major internet availability, so people aren't spreading word and stuff to worry about, and people are like, what the hell are you talking about? What's an Atari? Unless you had an old one that was sitting in like your grandparents' basement, you'd be like, that old thing?
Which every... So, well, so 1991...
This gives us a good reason.
Your father had to use it in
the 1991, the Atari 2600 was still in production.
Yeah, so you still...
So they definitely
had all those little mini...
And the 7800 stayed in production for a few years as well. Another system that, just tragically, if it would have came out when it was supposed to come out, would have saved Atari.
Yeah, like I said, 4 years too late. 4 years too late.
It was an amazingly powerful machine for the time. It should have been released.
So the company that took its place, Sega, did the exact same thing.
I know.
Exactly.
Coincidence?
Oh, man.
Play the X-Files theme! Play the X-Files theme!
It's much like the pattern of hire another company to develop your next system, telling them to take a hike, and then they just release it.
Yeah.
And crush you with it.
Yeah. That is correct.
And they're just like poking you like,
again.
There's so many coincidences.
Yeah.
I think we need a multiverse machine so we can find out the other world.
Right. Wow. Atari's in the multiverse.
Screw that. The first thing I'm doing with like a multiverse machine is I'm watching the second season of Firefly. Damn it.
All right, good call.
I still think that the alternate history...
That or murdered George Lucas, whichever.
Where Commodore won the computer wars in the late 80s, would be like a worst case scenario.
This would have been kind of bought Microsoft, bought Apple.
What's that?
Yep.
The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, you're right. There it is. That's exactly what happens. All of a sudden, there's swastikas everywhere. The Japanese are running the West Coast. You're done. By the way, great series.
Haven't watched yet, Man in the High
Castle. And Commodore
Rules. It's based on a Philip K. Dick short story. Oh, it is a fucking awesome.
No, because it goes on love story. Like every stupid American show. It would have been cool if it had just been like, yup. There's Japanese, there's the Nazis, this is totally way off topic, and I can see my gaming wrinkles from this. It's great! Tiny kids!
He's getting kind of angry because we're off topic.
No, I'm trying to not say anything about the whole American
love story.
Love story thing.
Okay, yeah. All right. So,
yeah, it's bullshit. That's all I'm going to say.
It is.
Enough with
there's
that.
There's no love story on Pearl Harbor?
Bomb love ship.
actually, shouldn't it be like plane love ship?
There's a lot of bobs that love the ships,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, just lost a listener, right?
Oopsies.
Finally,
really angry 90-year-old man.
Asian Pacific.
After the 10-second delay, they're like, oh, you sons of a bitches.
There's three known prototypes to exist at this time.
Okay, so wait a minute. You only have a picture. There were actually three prototypes.
There's three prototypes, but what they look like is a box.
Ah, all right. So they never really produced any kind of production at all.
Geek Thing says, if you don't believe in love, then what's the point of living?
Porn.
It was a quote. I missed who the quote was from because it popped up the
street. We're all dead inside.
That's probably true.
What do you mean, probably?
Purify it with alcohol.
That's good idea. Kill it! Kill it!
Kill
those emotions! Kill it quickly!
Like rabbit. Oh, sorry.
I know the fate of one prototype, a Panther prototype. By the way, they look like boxes. That's as far as they got. They're boxes with a couple of ports on.
So they made working hardware.
Yeah. Well,
just shoved it inside. Yeah.
Not a production. This is.
Yeah, some basic.
Wouldn't run any, really.
Should I say it?
Sure. Yes.
Like the new Coleco?
Oh!
Dang, mic drop! Put the mics on a stand.
Too soon?
Too soon. Too soon. Knock it over.
It can still happen. It can still happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I give them a chance.
I want to believe.
I kind of feel like that's what
you're all about the X-Files today.
Is like, too.
Yeah.
That was just a coincidence. I'm not even sure to do it.
They made three prototypes.
Or was it?
Yeah.
It's
going
to be vaporware. All
right.
So anyway, that one was sold along with the liquidation of items of Atari Benelux at the Hobbytronic Electronic Fair in Dortmund. Germany.
And Dorkman?
Yeah, Dorkman.
This crap ended up in Germany, too. That's another thing.
How much did it go for?
In the 90s, the Germans were buying.
It didn't say, you know, they tried to look that up, and it wasn't found. The date of the sale is also in question, but the prototype is indeed just a plain black box with some ports in it.
Yeah.
So, damn.
So
let's just make a playback box for the
We will never get a chance to play the Panther.
Probably not.
Sex Panther.
Even if they did. All three improved games you can play on the Jaguar if you really want with the same damn controller, so...
Yeah, you're gonna buy that. Just, if you want to know the Panther would have been, play the Jaguar.
But I still think this to me is just such a sad sack case because Atari just so dropped the ball so many times. You just watch them over and over going, here's your last chance. No!
See,
no.
Again, you could take out Atari in that sentence and put Sega in it. It's still
yeah, it's
true.
Still the same thing.
It's like American Love Story. You're just like, no.
Actually, with Sega, a lot of it is you could just not buy that extra corporate jet, Sega.
Yeah.
If you could just wait. Don't spend that money. Oh, damn it, Sega. Quit.
No, don't. No. Oh, why did you invest in that? Oh.
So now we've got, like, match 3 games based on Shenmue. You know, I mean, that's what we're getting nowadays.
Hey.
Oh, that hurt. I'm sorry.
Sonic Rush
was
good.
On your right.
Sonic Rush was a good mobile game. Wow, and there's no changing that.
You did kind of
sorry, I saw
that.
The hurt.
Wow. It's okay.
You can throw this.
Safe we love Sega
safe
here, too.
Place, Travis. Go to your safe place.
All right, so next we have got the Amiga Walker.
Yeah, okay. So,
do you want to take a break
Ranger.
After the Amiga Walker?
Yeah, let's do that, and then we'll finish up with
And then we'll finish up with Travis.
And then we'll do our pick.
Okay.
All right, so... No, this is not a strict console. This is actually a computer that never came out. That being said, they actually did make working prototypes of it, though. So, at the end, Commodore had been liquidated and their bones picked apart by various companies. Gateway tried to pick up the Amiga line, if you guys don't remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Gateway, they owned it for a while, didn't they?
Gateway technically owned Amiga for a while.
What?
Did nothing with it. Oh, there was a lot of good intellectual property
there. There is a lot. Hey, can I go over that?
Yeah.
There is actually some evidence to Microsoft visiting them.
And killing it.
Oh. That they actually were threatening them.
That they would
not produce an Amiga. Because Gateway wanted out from under Microsoft's thumb.
So this is early 90s, 93-ish, 94-ish. Gateway buys the patents and so on from Commodore for the Amiga system. Gateway is like the number one PC producer in the United States. They were it.
They were the cow.
The cow box.
Yeah. They
cow
were box.
Thank you. They were the cow box. They were shipping that all over the place. They had Best Buy. They were the PC to buy in the early 90s. Dude! Yeah.
That's Dell.
Yeah, it was Dell. Never mind. But, But Gateway had the market down. And yeah, they picked it up. And there were really high hopes. Because here was a major PC manufacturer that went through the work of buying the Amiga assets. And we're thinking, holy shit! We're gonna get really sweet Amigas, and no, I had not heard about that whole.
This is rumor. This goes firmly under rumor, but it was pretty well covered at the time. But it still could be 100% rumor. But some of it did apparently come out of Gateway.
It makes sense.
Rumor did. So Gateway, but it's possible that it's all bull crap.
Gateway had a lot of licensing deals with Microsoft because they were licensing their own versions of that point of Windows onto their systems. So yeah, no, it makes perfect sense actually.
Well, and they probably got them in a deal and whatever.
And if you screw them up, you'll screw up.
But now, again, back to our march to death of various
Commodore
companies.
So Commodore
is Gateway now?
So get yeah.
Yes, they should have released an Amiga.
Actually, think about it. Like, if they actually released an Amiga, like, as a gaming console platforming.
They could have done that quite easily at that point,
People would have already known. Some people would already know.
Oh, God. And there were...
And then, you know what? Another sad story. We could be having, like, you know, gaming, like...
And here we go to the alternate universe again. Okay, so... Gateway decides not to, and a German company called S-Com picks up the right to Amiga. And this is about 94, early 95, and they actually start developing Amigas. And again, high hopes again. We had our hopes dashed with Gateway, but oh my God, S-Com. And S-Com's a fairly big German electronics company, so we're thinking, fucking awesome. They got money, they're going, this is a great company. And they start working on a new Amiga. So at this time, the 1200 was the last Amiga released, so they start working on a new Amiga called the Amiga Walker.
Ranger.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they came up with the Amiga Walker. Maybe it was this
Texas Ranger.
This odd-ass case they made for it.
I think it is, with the little footies on it.
Yeah, it actually was a really unique design for a PC at the time. So they came up with this idea.
What do you mean at the time? That's still Amiga weird as hell. Texas Ranger.
Let me see.
So they were working on developing this particular system.
What the fuck?
in late 95, early 96. And they actually made two prototypes. The plus side of this one versus the original Amiga. So the Amiga 1200, the last one they made, had AGA chipset, was running 68020 at 14 megahertz. This one was a newer chipset called, I think it was called Tony. T-O-N-I, you know, sticking with their whole thing about using names for it. So the specs was new case design. That was one of the things that they got absolutely creamed for, okay?
All right, that's wrong.
What was it?
He thinks asked if it had tennis balls on its feet.
Oh, my God, it does look like a little lady's walker. Okay.
Texas Ranger.
So the new case design, I mean, people bought it. Looks like Darth Vader's helmet. Looks like a vacuum cleaner. I mean, they were trying to be innovative.
It looks like a head of a vacuum cleaner.
I know. They were trying to be innovative. But the specs on it were going to be great. For the time, it was going to be the 68030 at 40 megahertz.
Ooh. The other thing about it is, now, I don't know if you can see that, and maybe it's not true, but it's a lot more compact than anything else that was going. As far as the idea of Walker,
Texas Ranger, probably
take it places.
You can probably take it places.
Yeah. So FPU socket, but no FPU.
I thought they named it because it's what happens to Amigas when they die.
Then when they die, they come back as Walkers.
Texas Ranger.
All right. Real time on board. Real time. Clock on board, which Amiga hadn't done to that point. It was going to have 2 megabyte chip RAM. I know they were saying, some people think 1, no. They were looking at 2 megabytes on that for sure. 4 megabytes of fast RAM, which would have been, again, at the time, that was horrendous amounts of RAM for a system.
I knew it was a little bit smaller, too. So
they were going to use, at the time, they were using a standard drill layout for the motherboard. So if you didn't like the case, they were going to sell the motherboard separately. You could buy your own motherboard without a case. And it would fit into any baby AT case, which was pretty damn clever, too. I mean, let's be honest. The case is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of an idea.
Apparently, it was for nobody.
Yeah, well, definitely. Came with a CD-ROM drive built in. And again, you guys have to remember...
It's early.
Early 90s CD-ROM drives are still running hundreds and hundreds of dollars. MIDI, everybody's not sure about that, but MIDI would have been cool. And that would not hard to do. The Amiga was built with MIDI basically in mind, and there were plenty of MIDI interfaces available already, cheap and easy to add into the existing board.
What year was this?
I think I had a MIDI
Early 96, late 95, when they were working on this.
Yeah, so yeah, MIDI would have been.
I was 4 years old.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I thought I had a MIDI adapter for my Amiga 500.
I bet you did. Right. I have a MIDI adapter. MIDI was really easy to do on the Amiga, so it would have been nothing to add it to the motherboard.
I hooked a keyboard to it.
External keyboard, yeah, of course. CPU, Zorro, PCI, video slots, no problem. OS 3.2, because at the time we were only on OS 3. And something called the Super I.O. chip, which I could not find much about. So it was going to go on sale in September of 96. Yeah, that didn't last long, needless to say, because... SCOM went bankrupt, who owned Amiga as a subsidiary. The Amiga company was its own company, who promptly also went bankrupt, and that was it. Everybody went downhill again. So, one more time, our hopes were dashed. And again, the Amiga community was going through this. I mean, from when Commodore was finally going bankrupt, what was that, 93?
Oh my god, the Amiga ran every company bankrupt that ever owned it.
Yeah, it did. God. The only people who have actually done well with it are...
In fact, we should name it the Monkey Hyper Paw.
The what? The Monkey Paw.
The Monkey Paw. It is the Monkey
Texas
Paw.
Texas Ranger.
Yeah, Monkey Paw, Texas Ranger. So, so basically...
It's exactly Walker, Texas Ranger, but with a monkey.
You believe it's
going to
bring you good things.
Yes.
Paw. But it only ever brings you
misery. Yeah, so people hated the name so bad, a German magazine actually ran a competition to find a better name for it than Amiga Walker.
Texas Ranger.
SCOM went bankrupt. Amiga Tech Technologies fell.
Oh, wait, so we made this a drinking episode.
Every time you hear Texas Ranger, take a drink.
It's a little late for that. We're like near the end of this segment.
Rob can take it.
Watch it in reverse and then hear all the satanic messages we have to say.
Texas Ranger.
So, Walker. So basically, one more time. But that being said, they actually did make 2 prototypes of it. One was sold, and both were sold to Peter, I can never pronounce his
Jackson.
Name. Triscasio. This guy bought like bitch loads. He still literally was selling Commodore 1200s last year. He bought like pallets full of old Commodore stuff in Germany and put it into storage, and he sells. In fact, I think he's still selling new 1200s, and you can order a brand new 1200 in the box from him. He just bought a bunch of their stuff. A nice enough guy. I've heard good things about him. He was a German corporate head of Amiga, or I'm sorry, with Commodore or something. So he's got a bunch of their stuff.
He's
got to
be an eccentric millionaire.
No, he's just some average schmo, you know? I mean,
he's German, so he probably has a bunch.
So let's see. Wait, actually, I got one more picture of the prototype.
Paintings and things I own. Weird.
So there are 2 prototypes.
What are these Swiss bank
one
accounts?
One of them is actually here in the United States. That's the prototype of it. So they actually, it was a fairly far along system. The prototypes, this one is not 100% functional. They had some boot loop problems, but somebody did kind of get it working. It's slow as fuck, but that's only because the OS is still being developed on it. Build a few prototypes.
We're not the professional here.
The case design was later sold to another company who actually sold this as a PC case.
So they,
I thought I've seen them around.
That's what I was thinking. No. It looks like a they sold the case design to some Chinese case company who actually manufactured
it. It's like the Jaguar that is now made for everything.
They couldn't find some CD-ROMs even and floppies that were black also?
At the time? No, at the time, probably not.
Or even silver?
Yeah, you know, again, at the time, you got
to
realize.
We used to spray paint them. They were like, really? It was like black? $50
you
more,
for black. So, yeah, so no, I'm betting they went with what they can get their hands on in prototype purposes. So SCOM had already taken the OS and actually put SCOM on the copyrights because they own the copyrights at that point.
It's impressive.
It was a failed system, but it had potential. I mean, spec-wise, it was good. It would have run all the original Amiga stuff, so you would have had a big library to go with. Again, if SCOM hadn't gone bankrupt and they actually maybe got this to market,
that was a sigh of a lost love.
It is. It's a sad
American love story.
It could have been a good system. Not in that case, though. God, that was an ugly fucking case. Even for the time, they were.
I don't find the case offensive.
They were trying to make it look cool.
It's 90s aesthetic.
Yeah. Oh, all right, totally. Okay, maybe it is 90s aesthetic.
You gotta think.
Yeah, maybe.
The Macintosh with its built into the tube TV.
Out.
IMAX.
IMAX. That's,
I mean, it's almost as attractive as the next cube. So.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
Come on, like, it was the 90s. Cute.
No, oh, yeah, I actually did like the next. Like I did actually.
And there were actually some of those.
Looks like a face hugger. I like the smallness of it, so.
Mm-hmm. So that was that one.
All right. We also have to remember, like, I think a good
point. So I think we're ready for a 5 minute, and then
we'll be back. So that about wraps it up for the Amiga Walker.
Texas Ranger.
Take another break.
We'll be back in a few minutes with the Action Game Master. And
the
Game
Master.
Really want to be here for this.
Hey, I'm Nubet, the drunken babysitter, and you're watching Guys, Games, and Beer. Cheers.
And we're back with the second and probably drunker half.
No, not probably.
Of Guys, Games,
definitely
and
drunker half.
I got a better one. We are going to talk about one more system,
the Action Game Master. Ooh. By Active. Ooh.
Wait, the Active Action Game Master.
Active Entertainment, were known for such great hits as Action 52.
Woo!
And the Cheetah Men series.
Yay!
Basically, in the late 80s, early 90s, when the NES was very popular, there were certain companies that would like to make unlicensed Nintendo cartridges. Color Dreams, which eventually became Wisdom Tree, for such favorites as, you know, Christian Bible games, as like Super Noah's Ark.
Yeah!
So they made like, and there were other companies like Tengen, which made reprint like cartridges like for Pac-Man and things like that, and eventually were taken to court by Nintendo. But this was another one, Active Entertainment. They made a cartridge, which was 52 games in one for the NES and eventually the Genesis. What they failed to mention is a lot of those games were very buggy, did not work, and were the most rudimentary pieces of crap you could ever get your hands on.
Woo!
I think one of the games was like Pong, and they had like a really crappy Simon remake or things like that.
Yeah, they really did.
I was actually going to get into the console here.
No, I was telling you to give the Periscope people a clearer picture.
Oh, wait a minute.
They've
buggy
gotten
or
half.
Awesome?
I mean, like, again, it's a cool in theory, and again, it's a very big collector's item. The Action 52 cartridge goes for hundreds of dollars. The second one, obviously...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, okay. Again, it's one of those things of history. And the Genesis one is obviously very cheaper. It's a lot cheaper to collect for the Genesis in general.
What did they say?
Buggy or awesome.
And the Cheetah Men 3 only had 1,500 copies. So that's, you know, one of the, like, the holy grails of collectibles. So they eventually came up with this, which ended up never coming out, the Action Game Master. And it featured, like, everything under the sun. It's pretty much like the UltraVision 2.0.
Oh, yeah!
This thing, it looks like somebody...
UltraVision handheld!
Yeah, somebody took...
two PlayStation Move controllers, aka dildos, and stuck them to a football. I don't know who did the ergonomics or like. It looks huge. Like, I don't know what they decided to do, but it featured the ability to play Sega 16-bit games, Super NES 16-bit games, NES 8-bit games, and then had an add-on for a CD-ROM player.
I have a question.
Wait, this thing did everything.
It was a handheld.
It was a handheld that did all of these
with
things.
With a CD-ROM add-on.
It had the, of course, it does everything, car adapter.
The heart of the
so you can charge in your car just like the UltraVision.
Yes.
Oh, I was about to say, portable, what?
How many D-cell batteries and or car batteries did this need?
They never said.
So last week, huh?
That's a lot of double A's.
Where can I make my Hot Pockets in there?
I think you fold it into the center there. And
where's the flashlight?
The screen heats it up. It's a screen slash, it's a 3.2 inch color LCD. / toaster. Apparently it was lightweight and portable. The thing is they never had an actual console, a prototype to show. They had a few showings at the Consumer Electronics Expo.
Which were a couple of rocks and some sticks.
But they never showed the console. They just said it was coming out. And I think people had kind of caught on because they knew about the Action 52 cartridge. I mean, they're obviously consumers who did not know and bought it anyway, but the stuff they put out was relatively low quality. So I think people were a little smarter onto this.
But those other things did actually come out.
Those actually came out. Unlike UltraVision, which released nothing.
Right. These guys actually did release some stuff.
Could we zoom in on that car cord adapter?
Yeah. Yeah. That little sperm thing here?
Does that not look like a butt plug?
Does that not look
like a toy?
Coincidence? I think not.
That looks like a vibrating head.
Alright. So, this was in the mid-90s here. They had a couple of titles under their belts, but never came to fruition. And I really think, I don't know why, but they kind of talked it up a little too much. It was promises they could not fulfill. And eventually ended up going under completely because this is just something they couldn't deliver on, especially at a decent price point or anything like that. And we already knew that the stuff they released was shoddy. Again, they hyped up their Action 52 to be, 52 great games you can play. You get so much bang for your buck and all that stuff, and it was barely functional, barely playable, and even the stuff that wasn't buggy still wasn't that great.
But it was going to have a TV tuner, though, too!
Yeah, so, again, this is...
That's not unrealistic.
I know, because Sega did.
Sega had it for the Game Gear.
And it was good.
Cheetah Man 3 was going to be the premier game for this, wasn't
Cheetah Man 3 was originally supposed to be the premier game. Never ended up releasing.
On any system.
Yeah, on any system. Yeah. Cheetah Man 1 Cheetah Man 2, very buggy, barely worked. And those were some of the better games out of the Action 52 cartridge.
So if you're looking at this system, the system's probably a good foot across.
Yeah, if you think that's 3.2 inches
right,
screen.
Exactly. This is going to be a foot across.
It's going to be a foot
with
wide.
A little 3.2-inch screen
foot
on it.
Is like this.
Like
you're
a foot wide.
A foot and a half.
No, a foot. It's probably a good foot across with a 3.2-inch tiny little fucking screen.
How big was the Game Gear at the time?
The Game Gear was maybe eight inches.
Atari Lynx.
Atari Lynx was gigantic, okay? Mm. That was a fucking monster.
That was 4 feet, right?
Yeah. Widescreen.
Just ask your girlfriend. Oh, by the way, she's watching the show right now.
Oh, wow.
Wow. She's watching a whole different show.
But again, it's really kind of interesting to see, these companies that probably, do they promise that because they actually think they can deliver, or are they trying to scam company, scam investors?
Scam investors.
I'm thinking because they, unlike the UltraVision, actually had product.
The UltraVision had a game.
Yeah, the Condor Attack.
Condor Attack was there.
This is the exact same thing. They came out with a game, two games. Again, with the Action 52.
See, they got two though. They got
and then
two.
Technically, Cheetah Man 2.
And they had a Vision.
And they had a Vision for a console. So this is pretty much exactly like the UltraVision.
And you know what?
This is almost the exact goddamn thing.
I'm gonna say, looking at it though, I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be awkward storage or something like that.
You think?
But as far as actually holding it and playing, it might be more comfortable than the Game Gear or the Linux or some of
those. Are you seeing these big black dildos on the side?
Let's check in. They're the PlayStation.
They're huge.
Is that
are you? Wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. All right, yeah.
That's like a 3-inch diameter. Come on.
After you shove
that's
that
where the
up
batteries
your butt,
go. It's hard like a tuna can.
And then maybe that was where the batteries went. That actually kind of makes sense that maybe that's where the batteries were at. So that
I imagine the whole thing is batteries just to power all.
Yeah, but if you think about
is this
like,
before or after you get ready?
Yeah, well again, just poison again, just remember game. What the same game gave you the batteries.
They cancer from the plastic.
Yeah, but I mean, like really, there isn't. They kind of just disappeared. Like they showed up at the 1994 Computer Entertainment Expo. They had their booth. They didn't really have any product. They showed their old Action 52 stuff like that. But they didn't have. They announced it. They didn't have any prototype. They didn't really have anything from there. And it just kind of faded out. I mean, like, but they lasted for a while. Like, they worked with, like, kind of computer accessories and stuff like that. They lasted for, like, another 15
years.
It'd
be more fun if they had, like a tragic story behind their favorite.
A tragic love story?
Yeah,
no,
like,
but
yeah,
like
an American tragic love story.
Man in the High Castle. Kind of like Man in the High Castle.
To be fair, like, I think after a certain period of time, you smell the bullshit. Like,
yeah, I'm thinking you're right. It's the same. Well, it was like, the same deal as Action.
The projected price was $500.
That's a good
Whoa.
Deal. I mean, it's expensive.
No,
but you can
play
Sega system. Games, NES games, Super
it,
NES games.
But you get it right. It's
pretty sure it hooked to a TV. So
it didn't know it had a tuner.
Oh, well, but it hooked to a TV.
No, it does not say that at video.
Oh, I'm sure it did. And
it had everything else, Tom. Well, it will have it,
yeah. Yeah, it had side vibrators, a toaster. I mean, a flashlight, damn it.
You could play games and eat breakfast at the same time.
You could play games and it would rustle your jimmies. All for $500.
And those jimmies would be toasted.
Russell,
your but then
toasted
you realize
jimmies.
Your
I think we have an advertising
yes,
slogan
that's,
here.
That is the new tagline for this particular episode. It'll rustle your toasted jimmies.
Oh my.
I really hope there's some guy in Jimmy listening right now going, what the hell's going on?
As good as birth control.
Russell,
G2B.
Your toasted jimmies.
Okay. All right. So, I guess at this point of the show, it is time to pick which one of these three systems we would have liked to see come out.
Oh, God.
Okay, this is going to be an easy
this
one.
This is so hard.
No, it's
no,
not.
It's totally
no,
hard.
No, I know
for
it's
you,
what
it's
I want.
Easy.
I want. No, I want the one that wrestles my toes. Yeah,
my problem is, yeah, I mean, I look at...
Okay, realistically, this one could have come out.
Well, what's the name of that one?
That was the Amiga
Walker. Wait. The Amiga Walker.
Texas Ranger!
All right. So, guys,
wow, that was easy to
do. As much as the Panther sounded kind of good, the problem with the Panther is it was so concurrent with...
It kind of came out.
Yeah, it was the Jaguar. It was the Jaguar, exactly. Thank you. They really
yeah,
did.
But... way too late, you know.
But on both systems. So I'm gonna knock that out of my running. So for me right now, it's between the Action Game Master and the Amiga Walker.
All right, Texas.
Best thing is,
for sheer insanity, I would go with the Action Game Master because really,
it will sit very well next to my non-existent Ultravision. So.
That's true.
But Action Game Master.
Right. In reality, I would say the Amiga simply because it seemed like something that could have been released. It could have been great. Also, I do like when companies. Very comparable to now when they tried different things. I mean, think about smartphones. Smartphones, everything is literally the damn same. There's no difference between anything, really.
Well, anymore.
So when anyone
really?
Tries to
did
do
you...
something innovative, I'm all for it.
Did you have a BlackBerry?
I did, actually. Oh. Yeah, I did have
a BlackBerry.
Do you still
use BlackBerry?
Do you still buy BlackBerry?
I'm so sorry. Okay, no, that being said, you're right. You know something? I'm gonna get. It's
Amigas
a tough.
Were bold.
It's a tough call. They really did try something different. It's a shame the company went bankrupt. We had a lot of hope on this. I would have gone with the Amiga Walker,
Texas Ranger.
Because
I'm with
you.
Like
I'm
you said
you.
Earlier, it wasn't just that it had a weird case. You could literally just buy the equipment and put it into your own case.
Which was also a very clever idea at the time.
It
because,
was great.
Yeah, because it was beginning. That was the way the market was moving, and even they noticed that. All right. Okay. I'm with Tyler. I would go with the Amiga Walker.
Texas Ranger.
Mike.
Just go with Chuck Norris.
I gotta go with the Action Game Master. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be
Travis, right?
I'm pretty sure
it plays everything.
I'd probably be an otaku with that thing, if you think about it.
Yeah,
already.
If you were old enough at the time and
wasn't old enough at the time.
I know. You're old enough at the time and you had the money. Which one would you have actually purchased?
Yeah, no, they were talking a price point of 500 and some on this.
Okay, guys,
well, what was the price point of that? Maybe 1,000?
Probably about 1,000 for this.
Yeah. Hey, I would wait until that went down to probably like 400.
Like I said, I would have gone this for sheer insanity reasons, but in actuality, I would go with me.
All right.
Because
so
this
you,
is
so you're an Action Game Master. I'm sorry, a
butt plug.
Actually, all right, I've switched my vote. It has to be the Amiga Walker Texas Ranger. Because I know if this came out, it would be absolute shit. They'd promise it, and it wouldn't work. It would be Cheetah Man the console. And that would be awful. I would like all those things, but I know if it actually came out, it would be garbage. Hot fucking garbage.
Comment for the Peanut Gallery. Cheetah Men were lovers in a world that shunned them.
Oh! Hey. My Cheetah Man furry costume lives on.
Okay? All right. Since sexually. Travis said that, I'm going to go with the Panther, actually.
You're going to go with the Panther?
Yeah.
Wow. He gets turned on by furry cats.
All right.
No, after Travis said, there would always be Cheetah Man. That's all you get.
No, but he's wait probably right. Now,
if it actually came out.
Yeah. Wait, let's explore this a bit. Are you picking it if it had come out on time and come and... promise what it delivered, thinking that maybe it would have saved the Atari company. Is that what you're thinking?
No.
Oh, well, that would have been a good thought.
I want a box.
All right. Larry, how about you?
I think we know what Larry's going to pick.
I don't know. Let's find out. No.
I kind of just sold myself on the Panther.
See? That is a good point, though.
Actually, I mean, there's two systems RPG. Two companies I would have loved to have saved. I would have loved to, or at least two lines. I would have liked to have a console Atari line. I would have liked to have saved an Amiga line. So it's kind of a draw.
What about the Sega line?
Did you say the Sega line?
I know, just
putting
it out there.
Yeah, good line to say.
It's next week. No, all right, I'm just kidding.
First of all,
sort of.
Atari and Amiga, good American brands.
They really were.
And they failed miserably.
It'd been nice to save one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it wasn't through the Germans.
Yeah, well.
Which would have been an ironic twist.
Yeah, it would have been an ironic twist, yeah.
And the Walker came off.
Texas Ranger!
Now we just want to say Walker all the time.
Texas Ranger!
No, actually, I mean, I think my argument's good. Had the Panther come out when it was supposed to, and maybe it had made it change the marketplace, and maybe it done... done history a little bit different, I guess I would have liked that to have come out.
Rob even said that himself. If it had come out at the time, like, it would have been really impressive.
Well, maybe it would, maybe it would. We don't know that.
What do you mean? I mean,
tell us.
Rob is so hard already. Come on.
And you know what?
How you doing?
Tell me combustion in a multiverse after watching Firefly.
And possibly killing George Lucas. We'll see.
Playing the Atari Xbox One. Because they bought Microsoft.
All right, Ben, pick one.
I'm going to go with the exact same thing I did with last year, or last week. And I'm going to go with the one that promises everything, and they're going to deliver. I'm in the universe where that actually, they weren't a terrible company.
I'm pretty sure even with the theory of infinite universe, this doesn't exist.
They made a stole game, but... Damn it, Cheetah Men 1 and 2 were
the best. Fuck those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Cheetah Men were the shit.
All right, Rob?
They're like Bubsy.
As much as my love for consoles that just are horrific.
It was fun, damn it.
I love
Cheetah Man.
It's just so epic in its cheapness that I would have loved it, but in the end, I just think this was Atari's last great chance to make it. I don't know if Atari just wouldn't have made another stupid mistake right after. But I think if they would have released this, they at least could have made some income for a couple years.
And held up.
And at least held up and made a better next-gen console. I think they could have at least stayed in the fight. But as it is, Atari, they walked out. They just walked out of the gaming community. And it was too late for them to come back by the time the Jaguar came out.
They were the deadbeat dad of consoles.
Oh.
Damn.
Hey, you remember me?
No, Danny,
I'm a Jaguar.
But I really kind of wish... I honestly
You're
wish...
You're not my dad.
I'm in a mood tonight.
You are? Holy shit.
I honestly wish all three of these could have come out.
Oh, yeah, you know...
All three of these this week. As opposed to last week. This week, I really do wish all three of these could have come out because I would have loved to have seen Amiga continue and survive. But I don't know if it would have saved them because I think... Microsoft was so
dominant
at that point. They were so. This was Microsoft's high point. This was a Microsoft. This was a Microsoft.
This was just before 95 came out, dude.
That still.
Or right after
that was the bomb.
Yeah.
That was the. A bunch.
This
was
a Microsoft that was still in full gear. This is not a weak. This is not the weak and sad shell of a Microsoft we see now. Not the post-Balmer Holocaust. Microsoft.
Oh, wow.
The PBH.
No, but.
Balmer was a piece of
shit. German jokes.
He was garbage.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you because, okay, it might not have sort of, Microsoft still would have done its thing to some degree, but I think there might have been a place in it, and it's, and actually, it's
competition. It would have survived in Europe.
It's competition.
Yeah, probably would have.
In the Eastern Bloc.
I think its competition was actually more the Mac. Because its strength was graphics and sound.
Yeah, but they basically owned...
Europe was a weird
they had
place.
To bail so out. They had to bail out Apple just so they had a competitor. I mean, that's how dominant Microsoft
I know,
was.
I know, but I think you had insane loyalty
you did.
That still lasts today. As you can tell for this podcast.
Yeah, no butt hurt here.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean,
any old hardware or software has some weird branch of loyalty.
And you know, and you think, oh yeah, okay, Windows 95 had come out and really kind of changed
the environment. Yeah, but Windows 95 was, but it was still so far behind what they were doing by that this point on the Amiga.
Yeah, and it's not like the Amiga, and Amiga had an efficiency thing that, you know, it was like, you know, when you had a program on the Amiga, it was a few K. If you had it on an IBM platform, it was a few megs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was an efficiency to it.
I don't think there's any argument that
I think people would have caught some of those things going on if there was.
The problem is that the Amiga already lost. It was the better machine. Don't get me wrong. I will argue that to the end. It was by far a superior machine. It had everything.
But it already lost.
It had Commodore. And that was its real problem. Commodore failed the Amiga. And that battle was already lost. And sure as hell, SCOM, even though they were
an
okay-sized company, they were no Microsoft.
Yeah. But you got to understand, if you're still in the game, you're still in the game. And
that's what
Apple
with
has
the Atari
proven.
As well.
Yeah, but Apple...
If you're still
Apple
in the
got
game,
financed.
You're still in the game.
Apple got financed into the game. And Microsoft had a really serious grudge with Commodore and the Amiga line. Their grudge was really ugly.
But if they'd have spent more... If Amiga had existed, continually existed, and there were people still purchasing stuff, and they still had to make that fight, that's resources you got to develop. You know, if you got a free... That's not free air anymore. That's not running out front when, you know...
All of a sudden, you got
dirty air...
But
things start to change and dynamics start to change. Friends start to change.
SCOM
and you don't
wasn't
have...
that company. Gateway was that company.
Yeah,
Gateway was the company
that
could have done that.
When Gateway was done, then it couldn't have happened anymore.
I just don't think...
And it was the right time for Gateway.
Yeah,
they had a name.
I know, if they
they had the power. They really did.
Yeah,
they had the bitches.
Yeah, they did.
Gateway
the coat
had brought on the Walker.
It's like Scarface.
But that said, a dedicated Cena Man console
all right.
would have taken the world by storm.
That happened.
An Amiga and a cow cake.
All right, I think we're gonna close this up. So the general vote is. Let's see. Wait, show of hands for the Amiga. Two, three.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Four. Okay, so four.
It's over.
Show of hands for the Panther.
Yeah, three.
Three for the Panther. So
suck it!
The Amiga
wins
this
fight. No, I was actually going for the action.
Oh, you are? No, so it's three
so
to three.
Three
with the action.
Action game master!
All right, it's a fight to the death!
What? All right,
let's
Rob.
Do this.
I gotta go break a bottle.
Let's take this out. After you finish that beer.
All right. That was your
segue. No, he said finish it.
I gotta go break a bottle. We're all peace.
Ah, damn it.
Battle Royale. Okay, so.
Now that we've been doing this for a couple of weeks, people should start really kind of watching us on Periscope if you want to talk to us.
Yeah, I would say.
So why don't you
can definitely abuse us on. You can definitely abuse us on Periscope at www.periscope.com/guysgamesandbeer. Come to find out.
Who
knew? Actually can get to that.
Exactly. So if you go, if you want to talk to us while we're doing the show, join us on Periscope. We broadcast live on Tuesday nights. We usually start about 5:30, 6-ish Central Standard Time.
Let's be fair. 6-ish, a little bit after 6.
Yeah, sometime around
it
that
depends,
time.
It depends.
How much desire?
All right.
How much desire Tom wants to get to the show beer?
Well, tonight was really strong, okay?
We'll start broadcasting, but won't actually record.
If you don't catch us there.
If you don't catch us there, Rob, where should they catch us?
You can catch us on Facebook, our very popular platform, which is www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where we give away free games and we talk about all sorts of gaming related crap all day. It's quite a lovely little game.
And where else are we?
Well, we're on Twitter.
So look, I'll tell you right now, if you come on Twitter sometime tomorrow, there will be a free game. I always give away a game on hump day
at Guys Games Beer.
Right. So we are at.
So it'll be yesterday.
I'm sorry. Never mind. You missed this.
So there was next day.
Our Periscope users. We're at 388. I would like to hit 400 Twitter followers tomorrow. So.
Oh, oops.
Good luck with that one.
Kept,
unfollow.
Fuck you.
Hit that unfollow. Also, if you'd like to send us an email, don't forget it's. I'm drunk at guysgamesandbeer.net. This week we're going to do a...
Walker, Texas Ranger at guysgamesandbeer.net.
Yeah, you can do that one too.
Yeah. Woohoo! Hey, if you're a Linux developer, we are going to be at Midwest Gaming Classic in April. If you have a game you would like to show...
That is retro themed because this is a retro gaming convention.
You should email retrorob@guysgamesandbeer. And mention the game, maybe a link if you've got a downloadable copy of it that you can look at.
And we will put your game into the rotation.
Right, we're going to be
ready. We've got two machines running Linux during the show, two lovely laptops. But they match. And
it's Linux. You can run that on anything.
Yeah, we're going to run on a dead badger.
I'm good with that.
Also, let's see. We've got a ask for a shout out to Kudalot, the foul fleet by Application Systems.
Wait a minute. Who are we shouting out to?
It's Kudalot.
Face the camera.
I can't. I gotta
turn
read it.
Turn around.
Kudalot. Have you read this?
No.
Kudalot, the foul fleet by Application Systems, set sail with plucky heroine Nelly Kudalot on a daring adventure to rescue a flock of birds
hypnotized by the villainous Baron
Wildbeard.
Oh, this is getting...
Hold on. Wait. Explore a charming hand-drawn
world. Wildbeard.
Meet outlandish characters and face... perplexing challenges in search of the treasure of the seventh sea.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I started out not being interested by the names, but that actually sounds kind of...
Nelly Kudalot, the foul fleet, offers full voice acting in English and German if you are a German listener.
Wow, nice.
With Escom.
In this alternate universe where...
Yeah. With an incredible cast that includes the legendary Tom Baker from Doctor Who.
Oh, you're kidding.
And Thomas Rayner.
Holy crap.
Drama.
Damn.
The game also has text localization in French, Spanish, and Italian. You can check them out at NellyKudalot.com. We'll, of course, link
that. Yeah, we'll have a link on our website. It's NellyKudalot.com. Platforms?
Platforms were not listed yet. However, I would assume it is on your Windows machine, and I'm sure it'll be out for Mac. Right. But I will have those systems
But don't
listed.
You wish it was out for your Amiga machine?
Yeah, we will have links on our website. Definitely check the game out.
And if you would like a shout-out for your game.
Like Nelly Kudalot. Come on.
Yes.
Nelly Kudalot.
Oh. And if you would like your game to get a shout out horribly on Guys Games and Beer Podcast, give us an email at sellout@guysgamesandbeer.net.
That's sellout@guysgamesandbeer.net.
Oh, really, yeah. You could do
thank you very
anything
much.
Anything at Guys Games and Beer, and we get it right.
No, yeah, pretty no, much. No, pretty much. We set pretty this much. Up.
Yeah, we set that up. I'm right on that. Thank you very much for watching Guys Games and Beer. Don't forget to catch us next week when it's part 3 of the trilogy, the 2000s.
Okay, wait a minute. A space milky, oddity. Milky.
The final
we are milking this topic.
The re-coming.
All right. Oh. Later to all
the roping.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B